It is great to be with you this morning. It is. My prayer on Sunday mornings often is that we'll encounter the living God. And I sense that that's what we're doing. And so let me pray just before I dive into the Word. Lord, you call us to live in you. You live in us. You are alive. So are we. We thank you for the mystery that in you we have our being and true life. We ask that you would speak to us now, for we pray this in your name. Amen. How many of you have a connection with Emmanuel Bible College? A few? Wow. That's good. Great. Well, thank you. Thank you also to the whole church, because for years you have been very faithful. You've been very faithful to us. You've been giving us some money to help us run so that our students don't have to carry the full burden of their tuition. It is expensive to go to Bible college because we don't receive government assistance. You know, you go to the public universities or colleges and they get a large chunk of money from our government, but not the private Bible colleges. So thank you for that. Thank you also for your prayers, because we know that this ministry, this type of ministry, is spiritual. God is spirit. And so please continue to pray for our students, for the administration, for the school, that God will expand our ministry. And thank you for sending your students to us. Students that came even back in the 60s. And that you continue to send. Thank you. We really appreciate that. Now, Emmanuel Bible College was actually founded in 1940. So that's 74 years ago. And for 74 years, it has been preparing men and women for ministry. Next year, we will be recognizing the 75th anniversary of this ministry together. And I want to invite you now, a year in advance, to come and join us for this special celebration that we're going to be sharing together. So you have an invitation. So when you get the other one in the mail or it's announced in your church, remember, that's two, and we'd love to have you come. Please come and enjoy our beautiful maple campus. We've got lots of maple trees there. It has, in some ways, that camp atmosphere, but it's right in the heart of Kitchener. Great opportunities for ministry. Now, where does Bible college fit today? So I'm going to take just a moment and explain that. You know, there are, in Christian education, there are the seminaries and the Christian universities. That's great. They're part of the education system. We also have schools that train people in discipleship, you know, the Cape and Race, that type of thing. Bible college, well, it does both. You see, at Emmanuel, you receive a university-level education. A lot of our students go on to university to do their master's degrees. And so you get that university education, and I'm sure these guys could attest that sometimes it's a lot of work. Yes, and you work hard. That's good. We want to challenge you. Also, Emmanuel offers that college-style vocational training. So a lot of people come out and go into full-time ministry. That may be counselors, Christian counselors. It may be pastors. It may be missionaries or youth workers working with youth on the streets. Wonderful. But it's also very much about faith development. You know, these days, we have undergone an evolution, in a sense, and I think these have made the biggest change. Because when you think about education now, and you want to know something, well, you just Google it, right? It's right here. It's at your fingertips. So, do you have to really know a lot of facts? The problem is that we have so much information, we need good education to sift through it. So information is cheap. It's free. Google it. You want education? It's hard to get good education. But more than good education, what we really need is faith development, discipleship. And that's where Emmanuel fits. It's in the sweet spot, right there in the center, where we focus on our development as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's also a community that cares. We have about 200 students, both on campus and doing distance education. And those students, many of them graduate and have an impact all around the world. We have alumni serving in a number of countries, and we're so proud of them. And sometimes the quickest route to get there is through Emmanuel. As was mentioned, in about 12 years, the church is facing a crisis. There won't be enough trained leaders to take over the current positions that exist in Christian ministries. Why is that? Well, because the guys like me and those a little older than me are retiring. The baby boomer generation, they're retiring. And so we need to look to the next generation to pick up the mantle, and we need to be encouraging them. We need to be encouraging them to see opportunities to bring fresh ideas into the hundreds and thousands of ministry opportunities that exist in our province and around the world all the time. You know, it's a sad statistic that today about half of all Christians that graduate from high school and go on to university or college, secular university or college, within 3 years drop out of the faith. But if that student comes instead to Emmanuel, we know that 5 years later, they're involved in the church, involved in leading, and involved in ministry. So as a parent, I think, wow, I can't miss this amazing opportunity, but also great responsibility, something that I'm sure grandparents and youth workers and everybody realizes we need to seriously think about how we're going to train the next generation and the current generation to be stronger followers of the Lord and handlers of His Word. So with that in mind, I have a question for you. How do you spend your time? When you think about that, you probably spend a great deal of your time doing a number of activities. So we're going to look at those. Here's the first. Chances are, if you looked at your week and how you spend your time in the average day, you would spend most of your time working or commuting. In fact, through large surveys, statistically speaking, you spend, on average, 9 hours, 12 minutes, and yes, 36 seconds a day working or commuting back and forth from work. What do you think you spend the next largest chunk of your day doing? You got it. Sleeping. Some of you look at this and you think, wait a sec, I don't get 7.5 hours sleep. And you're probably thinking, yeah, it would be nice to have more. This is average. So 7 hours and 39 minutes a day sleeping. The next largest chunk of time may surprise you, but includes a number of things, but we've thrown it together in leisure. You actually have almost 3 hours a day for leisure. Now, wait a second. Any moms of young children still in here? Okay, you're an exception to the rule, okay? Just to be clear on that. Or if you care for elderly parents, all right, this is on average. The next largest chunk of time you spend eating and drinking, over an hour. That's a lot of time. Cooking and cleaning, you spend just under an hour a day. 52 minutes and 12 seconds. This is a very exact survey. What do you think you spend the next largest chunk of time doing? Did you think of this? Grooming, etc. You know, in front of the mirror. I spent a lot of time working on my hair, that type of thing. Surprisingly, this next group, well, it must include those that don't have children, okay? But on average, we spend 34 minutes a day caring for children, caring for the elderly. But we almost spend just as much time doing this. Are you surprised? Shopping. Yes, we spend a lot of time shopping, buying the stuff that we think we need or that we actually do need. Well, that doesn't leave a lot of time, so that leaves us 9 minutes for other stuff. But there's still just a little bit of time left in the day, and this is where we realize we have important things we have to do and the stuff that we probably should do, and so we devote just under 8 minutes to religious activities and volunteering. This is an average. Can you imagine that? If you add that up, well, 7 times 7, 49. Like, we're not even at an hour. The fact that you are here this morning means you are blowing the average out of the water. You guys are spending more time than the average in a week in religious activities. Congratulations. That's great. And I bet you do other things too. Okay? You probably do volunteer work, help with the youth, do other activities. So chances are you're not average. You're above average. Well, how about your personal development? Have you given that thought? The development of your mind? You know, Romans 12. You know that you train your mind? 6 minutes a day in education. That's what the average person spends. Well, it doesn't leave a lot of time. Really, it only leaves time for talking to other people on the phone, etc. Yeah, now that's where I am at too. I'm thinking, there's no way. What about Facebook and tweeting and all that other stuff? Is that it? And texting? Okay, that's probably part of your leisure time now. But you get the point. This is how the average person spends their time. Think about, now that we've looked at how we spend our time, think about it in relation to this text. And I'm using the Williams translation. Train yourself for the life whose goal is God. Physical training has limited usefulness, but the life, to live the life whose goal is God, has unlimited usefulness, for it promises life now and life to come. This is a saying which you can believe and accept absolutely. It is for that reason that we accept both the strict discipline of the training and the stern struggle of the contest, because we have set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and above all, the Savior of those who believe. Train yourself to live the life whose goal is God. If you have 3 hours a day leisure, and again, I realize there are exceptions here, but have you considered that perhaps you can devote more than 6 minutes a day to your own personal education in understanding the Word of God, how God has created you, what He's doing around you? How much time do you spend in your own personal faith development? Well, the average Christian spends time in personal faith development in a couple of ways, and I've only listed a couple here. First, they spend time in church on Sunday morning. Now, when I'm thinking of faith development, the education component, you're here this morning. Okay, we've worshiped, we've prayed, we've laughed, we've also have a time of teaching from the Word. So I'm on a Sunday morning, about a half hour is devoted to the education component. If you have Sunday school, you're there too. If you're part of a midweek group, you probably get another hour of good personal faith education, understanding Again, what's in the Bible, how to integrate it into your life. So the average Christian actually spends about an hour a week in personal faith development. Now, I grew up in Toronto. As a young kid, I grew up in an area, and most of my friends were actually Jewish. And I came home from school one day as a young kid, and I said to my mom, "Mom, I want to be Jewish." And she said, "Why?" "Because they have more holidays." And I thought, that'd be great. I get more days off from school. And then I learned what my friends were doing on Saturdays. They go to Hebrew school for, 2 to 4 hours. I thought, no, forget that, Mom. I'm not going. But that's not uncommon for people of other faiths to spend a good chunk of time learning about what they believe. Our students at Emmanuel spend a lot of time in their own faith education, and they are very fortunate. And if you ask them, I'm sure they would say that they recognize that this is a wonderful opportunity that they have in their life, and they are thankful for those that make it possible. So it's a great gift, it's a great opportunity to be able to go to Bible college. Well, how much time do they spend in a week in their faith development? Well, it's actually about 45 hours a week. And on my graph here, it doesn't even fit. It's right off the scale, right off the top. So I took that, turned it sideways, and got this. Okay? So that's comparison. Okay? So those who get to go to Bible college, very, very fortunate. Do you realize that when you add this up, in 1 year of Bible college at Emmanuel, you get what is the equivalent of about a lifetime of learning that the average Christian gets? So it's really a worthwhile investment. We will graduate later this month 34 students, many who will go on to do all kinds of things. They'll be teachers. They'll be employees of larger companies. Some will be involved in ministry full-time, youth pastors. I know a couple who will actually be missionaries. One young lady is going to be heading off to Uruguay. Some will be working with youth. Some go on to further education. But it's something that we are very proud of. But for me, it's not just the numbers and the people graduating that is the most important thing. I want to share with you what I think is one of the key indicators of the success of Emmanuel Bible College. And it comes from a survey we did of graduates recently. And so the top five reasons or top five things that our graduates are saying about how they grew while they were at Emmanuel are as follows. Number one, they say they grew in their understanding of the Bible. Number two, they grew in their ability to articulate their faith. Isn't that great? Number three, this is my favorite. They grew in their love of God. That is so important. Four, they grew in their ability to interpret and apply scriptures to their lives. And five, they grew as a witness of Jesus. So to me, I think this is happening. Train yourself to live the life whose goal is God. You know, we challenge our young people these days to be successful. But how are we defining success? Is it financial security? Or is it, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, someone who knows their faith? You've probably read in the book of Revelation, the person who wrote that, John, while he was sitting on this rock heap, this prison, this Alcatraz, which was Patmos, has this amazing revelation and vision and starts writing it down. And he writes a letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And one of those churches that he writes to is the church in the city of Ephesus.
Ephesus was a very diverse cosmopolitan. It was actually the center of worship for the cult of Artemis. So Christianity had a lot to contend with in its early days there. But as a church, it had a fabulous start. It had, well, Paul, the apostle, as one of its founders. It probably had Apollos, the great orator, who some may think maybe even was involved in the writing of the book of Hebrews. It actually had John himself, the beloved disciple, there. And if John was there, the beloved disciple, who else would be there? Do you remember on the cross what Jesus said to John, the beloved? This is your mother now. So Jesus' mother, Mary, was in Ephesus. As a church, it was, in the first century, the church of the who's who's. It was the big church, probably. I don't know how big. Maybe like a couple hundred. But it had a fabulous start and a great foundation. Unfortunately, this church had some problems. And later in Revelation, God addresses it. And he says, but I do have this criticism of you. You have lost the love that you once had when you first became Christians. Think back to the standard that once you had and repent. And live again the life you lived when you first became Christians. If you do not, I am coming to you. And unless you repent, I will remove my lampstand from your lampstand from its place. Somehow, in this city, one of the churches that had a great start, they had lost their first love. That heart for God. That importance of discipleship. You know, that's a problem that faces us today. We are constantly challenged with alternative gods, alternative opportunities to stay the course, to make goal, the God, the goal of our life, is not easy. So, why sometimes do we get off track? I think it's because we ask the wrong questions. We have a young lady at our school. Her name is Anna. She's fabulous. She's an alumni of the school. And she goes around to different churches and schools and all over the place promoting the school. And I had a chance to ask her some questions recently. And I said, Anna, when you are talking to parents of potential students, are they asking you, if my son or daughter comes to Emmanuel, will he or she grow in love with the Lord? Well, no, they're not asking that. Are the parents of our potential students asking you, if my son or daughter comes to your school, will they become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Will they have a heart that beats for the world? No, they're not asking that. I said, well, Anna, what kind of questions are the average parents in our province asking, Christian parents, to a representative from a Bible college? What are the questions that they're asking? Well, they're asking, are you accredited? How much does it cost? And will they get a job? Uh-oh. Do you see the problem? But you know, Emmanuel is not just for our youth. It's for everyone. So as we think about it, don't just think, you know, there's some young people. I should be encouraging them to attend. Think about yourself too. The average age at Emmanuel, I found out this morning, is 28. You have to realize that there are some people Steve's age and older, because there are quite a few older than you, who are students at Emmanuel. So as I look around this room, I realize all of you can come to Emmanuel. Or, if you can't come, you can take one of our distance education courses. Wouldn't that be fabulous? Get a group together, a cohort. Form a study group. Study the book of, well, Isaiah. Or maybe do Old Testament survey or counseling. Or perhaps you can afford a week We have some courses that are being offered this May, and I threw them on here last night because I thought, I got to tell you about them because I think these are great courses. Here's one. This summer, you can take a course in Bringing the Bible Alive Through Storytelling and Drama. Is that something just for Zach? You know, you can get other people to do it with you. You can form a drama team. Let's go. What about this course? Missional spirituality. What does it mean for us to be God's church? To realize that it's not, we don't do ministry for God. How presumptuous. We don't do ministry for God. As though God goes, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. No, we do ministry in God, in Christ. His Spirit is in us. Or this one, grief and crisis counseling. People die. We lose loved ones. Form a team of people who are trained to help minister to one another and in our neighborhood. Because quite frankly, the average citizen within, I don't know how far you want to walk, probably as far as 50 feet from here, doesn't really know how to handle death. That can be the job of people in this church. Help people learn how to cope with death. So that's my challenge to you. That you will see this opportunity to train yourself to live the life whose goal is God. Now, I've been at Emmanuel for 7 months, so I'm a rookie. I love the place. It's fantastic. I had an opportunity, a very attractive opportunity to go somewhere else, and I said, nope, this is God's calling. We're going to work here. Because I realized there's some things around Emmanuel that need attention. And so I help with the fundraising. And it just so happens that, Steve, you're in Weidman, aren't you? You're okay? Are you guys in Weidman? Oh, okay. We have three residences. And one of our residents has a boiler. Well, it sprung a leak. And the floor got wet. And so a technician was called in to look at it, see about fixing it. And well, money was short. And so nothing was done. And it continued to leak. And it started to rust. And then the rust sealed the leak. And the boiler kept working. And it worked from November through the winter. November 2012. So we've gotten 2 winters out of this boiler. God is gracious. But you know what? We're not going another winter with this thing, because if that bursts, we have a flood, and we're going to be calling someone in to help on, say, like Sunday and paying high rates or in the evening. So right now, we can get it fixed. And we started raising some money for it, and we thought it was going to be $3,000. It turned out that we can actually, instead of just fixing a part of it, we get the whole thing done for like $4,500. So we are almost there. We're very short. If you are inclined or you know somebody who can help us, we just need this much left and it's done and we'll replace the boiler and save the expense. So I leave that with you if that's something that you can also help with. You know, we want your students. We want your students, and I believe you want to come to Emmanuel. So here's how you can check us out. You can come to one of our evenings. Sometimes throughout the year we have evenings where you can actually stay in residence and you can check it out. You can experience campus life. You can join our mailing list, get on our mailing list. If you're alumni, great. Participate as alumni and volunteer, give, pray. And we have a little display set up at the table afterwards. And we'll be kind of moving out there. If you have any questions, that would be great. So, as I close, I want to leave this with you. Emmanuel is your covenant partner. Okay, you've been supporting us for years, sending people to us. You bless us by allowing us to come and worship with you. And so thank you very much. We really do appreciate that sincerely. We have already sensed the Spirit of the Lord here and have enjoyed worshiping with you. If you have further questions, please let us know. But my hope is that you will be blessed. And that the next generation, and when I say the next generation, I don't just mean the young growing up. I mean those who live in the next 10, 20 years. Be they young, middle-aged, old. That time slot from now to, say, what, 20, 25. Wouldn't that be cool? For the next just almost over 10 years. That people had an opportunity to get to know the Lord more, to love Him, and to share His love with others. So that when those who are suffering and hurting and experiencing death and don't know where to turn, well, there's people in this church that they would know. And they would say, you know what, that Sarnia Evangelical Missionary Church, those are great people. They know the Lord, love Him, and they helped my neighbor out when they experienced death in their family. They pray for you. They care about you. I know this is your legacy, and I just want to help you and encourage you to continue doing it because God is amazing. And then we will all experience His peace. Not just peace, which is the absence of tension, but peace in tension, in life. Because let's face it, life has its tensions, right? So let me pray for you. Father, as we reflect on Your word to us that was spoken and written by Your disciple, by Paul, as he spoke to his younger friend, Timothy, and he said, Timothy, train yourself to live the life whose goal is God. Lord, I ask that for all of us, You would help us to be challenged and to want to know what it means to live our life for You. And those things, Father, that are distracting us, that we need to bring before You, we ask that You would help us. And if necessary, bring someone around us so that, well, we don't carry our burden alone. Thank You for this church here in Sarnia and the reported blessing they've been in so many ways. And we ask, Lord, that You would continue to use them to Your honor and to Your glory so that Your shalom will be experienced here in Sarnia. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Thank you.